All right. Well, we're going to continue with the word. I've got one more sermon. I'm saying that today in this series. If I get to study in this week and something else come, well, I could make this a long thing. Let's see here. All right. This is part five.
Amen.
Preparing for the Lord's return. Because this is where I started. Subtitle is The Promised Crown. Remember what Jesus said? We started here, and then I branched away from it. But he said, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Now, so I want to start here, but go through and look at the crown as it relates to other scriptures. But one thing that I'm leaning towards in this particular scripture is Jesus said, hold fast what you have that no man may take your crown. He believed that you already have the crown.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He said, hold fast what you have. If you hold fast what you have is equal to the crown that I'm going to give you, right? So he's saying hold fast on it so that you lose nothing. It's not ours to gain the crown or earn the crown. It's ours to lose. We already have it. Amen.
In Jesus.
In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are already seated with him in glory. Amen. We're in the spirit. We're seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus. He's there. Amen. Yeah. He said, live in such a way that you're ready when I'm coming so that you may not lose that place of exalted authority in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So I want to look at this. Let me get my notes up because I'll get to going and tripping over everything. Okay. So this word crown in the New Testament, two Greek words for crown. One is Stephanos. And one is diademon. And this word Stephanos means a wreath-like crown. Remember, you see back in the different times, they would have a wreath-like crown made of leaves or a leaf-like gold used for marriage and festive occasions and expressing public recognition of victory in races, games, and war, also figuratively as a reward for efficient Christian life and service.
Mm-hmm.
So the crown in the Old Testament and the New Testament was used in five different ways, namely decoration, consecration, coronation, exaltation, and remuneration.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me say up front, in case I muddy the waters, I want you to get this, because we know this. Jesus, our high priest, wore a crown of thorns, so that we might wear the eternal crown of life, righteousness, and glory.
Mm-hmm.
Christ wore a crown of thorns so that you and I could wear a crown. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And this, so we'll see this as we jump into the Old Testament. He has it foreshadowed into the New. But we must know that our wearing a crown is not separate and apart from Jesus, but wholly dependent upon the fact that he came and died for our sins. And we'll see that confirmed in the book of Revelation in a second. So, Jesus overcame so that we might overcome. And so everything that we experience, notice that, Jesus said, we're going to wear a crown. Why? Because he's wearing a crown. He's wearing many crowns. Amen. And so he being made in his image, we're going to wear a crown just as he is wearing many crowns. Now, in the Old Testament kings and priests, wore a crown or a mitre. Now, all of these little things, when you're reading the Old Testament, you have no idea of how much you're reading and glossing over that's pointing as a type and shadow to the New. If we saw it all the way the Apostle Paul saw it all, you look in the Old Testament and say, it's all Jesus. It's all pointing us to Christ. So in the Old Testament, kings and priests wore a crown or a mitre. The priest's crown was ordained or commanded by God. God commanded them to put a crown on the priest. The king's crown was not commanded. Here in 2 Kings, we see where a king is crowned, starting in chapter 11, verse 12. And he brought out the king's son, put the crown on him and gave him the testimony. They made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, long live the king.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So this is the, I believe it's King Joash, being crowned after he had been given the testimony and sworn as the king. They crowned him. We see it again in the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 11. Go forth, O daughters of Zion, and sing King Solomon. See King Solomon with the crown with which his mother crowned him on the day of his wedding, the day of the gladness of his heart. So the crown upon the head of the king demonstrated or for everyone, even when King Josiah went into battle, he went into battle and they saw him with his royal robes and his crown. They said, that's the king. We're trying to kill him. I said, why are you going to battle with your royal robes on? I don't get that. Anyhow, kings were crowned. Now we'll look at Exodus 29, verse 6. God telling Moses in the, as he was to build the tabernacle, he says, you shall put a turban on his head, the high priest. You shall put a turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. So this was actually commanded by God, that you were to put a crown upon the priests. So first we saw the king being crowned. That was done by man. But then here we see God commanding Moses to put a crown on the high priest. And then further down in Exodus 39 and 30, then they made the plate of the crown, of the holy crown, of pure gold, and wrote on it an inscription like the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord.
To the Lord. Amen.
So God commanded that a crown be put upon the priest. Now we're going somewhere with this because all these kings, the Old Testament kings and priests, were types and shadows of the New Testament believer. Okay? So God, who commanded a crown to be put on the Old Testament priest, that foreshadows us in the New Testament because we're going to receive a crown. We are crowned in Christ Jesus, our high priest. Now, it's also interesting to note that we're told, we see here that this crown was engraved with holiness to the Lord. Holiness to the Lord. We're told in the book of Hebrews. Did I put it there? I didn't put it there. We're told in the book of Hebrews that we are to pursue, to live at peace with all men and to pursue holiness. Pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. We're told in the New Testament that we're to pursue a life of holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So when this holiness to the Lord was inscribed upon the crown, we see it foreshadowing, or a type and a shadow of what was mentioned in the New Testament as it relates to the New Testament believer. Now, so kings were crowned, priests were crowned, and look at what God said that he wanted Israel to be in Exodus 19. And you shall be to me a kingdom. As the king. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests. He wanted a people, a nation, who were kings and priests. That's what he was making Israel out to be. That's why the king was crowned and the priests were crowned. The kings were crowned and the priests were crowned. So he said, you shall be a kingdom, to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So God was revealing to them the whole time what he wanted to do with them. I don't think they understood the value of what God was doing with them. Amen. They rejected it. So since Israel failed to keep God's commandments, they did not fulfill their role as a kingdom of priests. They didn't fulfill it. They couldn't, because they broke laws, broke God's commandments, and did not keep his laws. Therefore, God did what Israel could not do, and he did it in his church. He did it in his church. Remember what God said he wanted. He did not get with them. But look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. To him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever and ever because he's made us kings and priests. Now, kings and priests in the Old Testament wore a crown. Therefore, kings and priests in the New Testament are going to receive a crown. We're crowned in Christ Jesus. Amen? You see that? And so Jesus said, behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have that no man may take your crown. Yes. So what we see in the old, we see it unveiled in the New Testament. We say, okay, that's what's going on. Yeah, that's what was going on back in the Old Testament. God in the New Testament said, oh yeah, I'm still going to get that kingdom of that king, kings and priests. I'm still going to get that for myself. Yeah, this is what I'm doing as unto myself. So now, Old Testament kings and priests wore a perishable crown, but New Testament kings and priests are going to wear an imperishable crown. Let's look at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate. That means lives a life of self-restraint. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. Look, okay. So all that the world is doing, you know, you write a book, you get an award. You run a race, you get an award. The NCAA, the NBA is having its championship. They're going to get a crown. They're going to get a trophy at the end. Okay. Great. All right. That's perishable. It's going to burn. It's going to fall. Look, everybody in the world doing what they're doing for imperishable crown. Mm-hmm. That's what Paul said. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
He says they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable. I don't know you, but I want an imperishable crown.
Amen.
You don't care about any rewards in this life. No, I'm not thinking about that. Last thing on my mind. No, we are doing what we're doing for imperishable crown. You say we are? Yeah. Doing? That's a good question. Do you know what you're doing? Do you know why you're running a race? Paul says, do you know? You know, we're in a race. We're in a race. Hebrews chapter 12. Let us lay aside the sin that he sets us and run with patience the race that is set before us.
Yes.
Finish the race. Do we know what we're doing? Do we know we're running in a race? Do we have any clue? Well, no, I'm just living my life. I'm just trying to get all the money I can and live and retire and put my feet up and out. For real? Is that what we're doing? No, that's not what we're doing. We are living to obtain. We're living for Christ, to honor him, to please him in everything. And we're doing it so that we would receive this imperishable crown. Mm-hmm. And he's already promised he's going to give us. This crown has been promised. He says, live in such a way so that no one takes it from you. It's already yours. But live in such a way so that no one takes it from you. But we for an imperishable crown. There's a crown of life. There's a crown of righteousness. There's a crown of glory. There's all these different names for this crown in the New Testament. Paul says, therefore, I run this way, not with uncertainty. In other words, Paul said, it's not nebulous to me why I'm running. Thus fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Yes, when I preach others, I myself should become disqualified. In other words, some Christians are saying that you can live any old way you want to. The Gnostics back in that day were teaching that the body and the soul were separate, and that since the body was separate from the soul, you can do anything you want with the body. You can commit all kinds of sin. You can go fornicate, commit adultery. You can go steal. You can do all what you want to. Paul came along and said, no. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. It's not true. I discipline my body. He said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient, or all things are not good for me.
Amen.
You know, Christian, there's no law in the Bible that says a Christian can't smoke.
You don't smoke.
But when you're in your 70s calling the church for the priest because you got lung cancer and you and got emphysema and have nothing, I got news for you. What's that way? Self.
Amen.
There's no place in the Bible that says, you know, in the Old Testament, the priests weren't supposed to drink alcohol. They weren't supposed to, you know, they weren't supposed to get tipsy and all that. There's no place in the New Testament says you can't drink, and some Christians run with it. Hey, are they turning up?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, who says I discipline my body?
Amen.
All things are lawful for me. That doesn't mean I'm going to do everything that I can do. Some people. No, Paul says, no, I discipline my body. Why? I'm going to have that crown.
Okay.
It's an eternal crown. This is
yes.
Perishable means eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Corruptible. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. I can't wait. There's no comparison. There's absolutely no comparison, right? So, God help us to understand and to perceive what we are after in this life as believers in Jesus Christ. One does not receive the prize if only half the race is run. Paul said, no, you can't be a half-stepper. You can't run. I'm going to run half the race. No. Jesus told the church to hold on to what they have to the end. To the end. Now, everything Paul says about this crown is eternal in nature. So we see it here, the imperishable crown. But we see him also talk about, as it related to his ministry, in Philippians 4:1, he says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord.
I'm going to write that down.
So he, now people are eternal, right? Believers are eternal. We're going to exist. Even unsaved people, they're going to live forever, right? But they're going to be eternally dead. That's not a good thing. The Philippian church was a crown of sorts or an ornament of the Apostle Paul's ministry. The Apostle Paul saw obedient believers as a crown because he had preached the gospel to them and they had gotten saved. And he saw that as a crown to his ministry. It ornated his, decorated him as far as his ministry is concerned. And so he told them to stand fast in the Lord. Similar to what Jesus said, hold fast what you have. Hold fast what you have. To the believers at Thessalonica, Paul says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Again, the crown being these believers are eternal. Paul says, I want you in his presence when he returns. His eternal presence. So this is what God had called him to do. To see people redeemed in Christ Jesus, and he saw it as a crowning achievement to his ministry. Now, excuse me, the Lord has set before Paul this ministry of being an apostle and preaching the gospel to the world. What has the Lord set before you and me? What has he called us to do? He called Paul to preach the gospel. He calls us to live a life that's holy and pleasing to God. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is living a life that is worthy of him, that is pleasing to him, right? Paul goes on, and he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness.
Amen.
All of these crowns come from Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot get them anywhere else.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah. Somebody down here, some organization, some whatever, some association may give you. No, these crowns come from the Lord, and they are eternal, and they only come from Him.
Amen.
This is what we're looking forward to. Ah, yes, indeed. This is what they say. Well, you don't care if if you don't recognize me for anything, what matter in this life? I don't Amen. Care. I'm not here for it. No, I'm not here for likes, clicks, tweets, all of that crazy. No, no. I want this crown of righteousness, Paul says. I'm interested in fighting the good fight. I want to finish my race. Come on. I want to keep the faith.
Amen.
Paul says, after that, this is what is awaiting me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing.
Amen.
Who have loved. That means people who love Jesus today. That's past tense. Loved his appearing. It could refer to the past, his first appearing or his second appearing. Paul says, the scripture says here is referring to his second appearing.
Mm-hmm.
If you love his appearing, that means you're living in a way to be pleasing to him now, so that when he appears, you'll be ready and not ashamed.
Amen.
And then where he reveals himself, right? So the crown of righteousness is awaiting us. Paul says that there would be no crown of righteousness if he had given up the fight, quit halfway through the race, and thrown his faith away. There would be no crown of righteousness. Right? So he's encouraging his people. I'm reminded again of Carlton Pearson. I mentioned him a couple of weeks ago, who was a Pentecostal minister. Went to ORU, was highly respected and preached all over the place. One day he said, his grandparents fell away from the Lord, started after a life of growing up in the church. In their latter years, they stopped going to church, started clubbing, went to the nightclub every Saturday night. They stopped going to church and everything. And he was concerned for their salvation. And he said one day a voice spoke to him and said, "It's okay, Carlton. They're not lost because everybody's saved." And he started preaching the gospel of inclusion, he called it. He started preaching the gospel that taught that everybody's going to be saved, regardless of who they are. Hitler, Mao Zedong, you name them. Jeffrey Dunn, everybody's going to be saved, regardless of what they've done, because God has included everyone. And he died believing that. He died believing that. He died believing that there was no hell. He said, "No, there's no hell." I said, "Okay, well, that makes Jesus a liar then."
Right.
Carlton, what are you doing? This poor man, he died was it last year or a few months ago? He passed away. And it was an awful thing. Anyhow, no, we must hold on to the gospel truth until the end. Jesus said, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." Amen?
Amen. Amen.
James chapter 1, verse 12. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." So here we have the crown of life. Here we have the crown of righteousness. Here we have the crown of life. How many more crowns are there? Well, the Bible does say Jesus is crowned with many crowns. Look like his people got more than one crown too. Now, they couldn't all be the same crown, but be referred to here as different crowns.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But either way, I don't care how it is. Lord, crown me, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I want to be crowned. Now, so the crown of life comes from the Lord. And what's interesting in this scripture is we find out all of God's people are tempted. And the whole church said, "Amen."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Every time I go to the grocery store and walk past the bakery department, I am tempted. Yes. Oh, yeah. And the milk is not far away. Oh, the milk in the bakery department. Amen.
Amen.
People with children are tempted, but all of God's people also love him. And he's promised a crown to those who love him. He's promised.
Huh?
The crown is already ours. We're going to receive this crown of life. All right, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 14. The elders who are among you I exhort, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God. Peter's instruction to pastors, under shepherds. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Peter's dealing with what Paul dealt with in 1 Timothy chapter 6, what a lot of pastors are tempted with today. Money. Money, Lord Jesus, help us. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you. It's another great temptation. Being an authority is to will power corruptly. But being examples to the flock. This is what Peter says a pastor is supposed to be to his flock. An example.
Amen.
An example. Yeah. He's supposed to shepherd the flock of God. He's supposed to feed them. He's supposed to be an example to them. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory. Here, and he lays it out that it's eternal, that does not fade away.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Jesus said that you, the whole fact what you have is so no one take your crown. That's an eternal crown. It's a crown of glory. He said, look, when you see someone in a crowd, when you see someone walking and they have a crown on, what does it do but draw your attention to the person? It's like, hey, who is that? They're wearing a crown. Well, in God's kingdom, everybody.
It's God.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, this is beautiful. Everybody going to be decked with a crown. My goodness. An unfading crown. A crown that does not fade away. And this crown of glory comes from the Lord. So we have a crown of righteousness. We have the crown of life. And we have the crown of glory. Jesus said this to the church. I forget which church it is. It says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. I need to do a sermon series on suffering. Some Christians don't believe we call. Romans says we are called to suffer. Peter says we are called to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say, well, that's not the Jesus I know yet, because you know the wrongs. Peter actually said that if Jesus suffered, we're going to suffer. He actually said
yes.
That.
Yes.
Right.
And then
Romans says that if we with him, we'll be glorified with him.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, if Jesus suffered, then he was glorified. Well, mm-hmm. We're going to suffer, then mm-hmm. we're glorified. Okay, mm-hmm. That's a whole other sermon. Get ready. But he says, indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. Remember what James said, everyone's tempted, everyone's tested, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life.
Mm-hmm.
Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Death is what man does to you. Psalm 56 says, I will not fear what man can do, and what can man do to me? Because I have... That's what the psalmist said. I will not fear what man can do to me. Man can't take away from you what God gives you. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you life. Jesus takes your death away and gives you life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what he has in preparation for anyone. So when Jim Elliot died preaching the gospel to the Amazonian tribesmen, amen, when John the Baptist had his head, the moment he faced death, he received eternal life. That moment. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, is death anything to fear? No, yeah. Not a chance. Is martyrdom anything to fear? No, not a chance.
Mm.
When we're walking with him, who is going to give us the crown of life? Now, it's important that we get our crowns, because we're going to need our crown in worship. Okay, here we are. We're going to need our crowns. Revelation 4:9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before
the throne. How? Amen. Amen.
He who lives forever and ever. We receive them. We throw them down in honor at his feet. We cast our crowns, the crown of righteousness, life, and glory. All three of those you can get from no one but him who lives forever and ever.
Yeah.
And so, we're going to need our crowns, amen, to worship him. So they say, they cast down their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy to receive glory and honor, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we just sung this song, right?
Praise God. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you need the shout of glory and praise to God, just look around at everything and know that it all exists because he, because of his good pleasure, he willed it into existence.
Amen.
He created all things, and without him was not anything made.
That's right.
Amen.
That's what it says.
Now, this is what I like to say to myself. Give you glory to the God who created all things. He sustains all things. He's reconciled all things. And he's going to make all things new. I tell you, we serve an awesome God.
Amen.
We serve an awesome God.
It's none like
him. Yes, indeed.
Amen.
Yes, indeed. And so as he, by your will, they exist and were created, it is also his will that there be a new heaven and a new earth, because he already said he's going to do it. And God cannot lie. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
All right. So, again, to come back to our home scripture, Jesus said, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one
may take.
Amen. This crown that Jesus will give his people is not ours to earn. He says to hold on because we already have it. He will give it to all of his people. We already have it in Christ. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's ours to lose.
Amen.
It's ours to lose because he says, I'm giving it to you. It's ours to lose. We are not to work for this crown, but to live holy lives before him in order to keep it. Amen.
Amen.
Let me close with this. Revelation chapter 19. Vision of our King. John said, now I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. On his head were many. Remember what I said about when you see someone with a crown that draws your attention to him? Well, on his head were many crowns. Crowns of glory.
Mm-hmm.
When you see him, your attention is drawn to him above everything else. Your attention is drawn to him because of the glory. Because of the glory. On his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself.
Amen.
Have mercy. He had a name. Look, we can't know him.
Man.
The mention of his being, come on. No, he had a name that only he knew. That was something revealed about him that only he knew about himself. He was clothed with a robe in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
The Word of God.
Hallelujah.
This is the one that we worship.
Yes.
This is the one who's crowned with many crowns. The one who said, hold on to what you have so that no one would take your crown. Who's gonna, at the end, gonna crown us with righteousness, life, and glory.
Mm-hmm.
Our prayer is that all of us live in such a way before him that nothing causes us to forfeit our crown of life, righteousness, and glory. Amen?
Amen.
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 All right.
Amen.
Well,
great word, Pastor.
Good word. Right. So much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I had so much pleasure and joy in studying God. Any questions or comments on the teaching?
I'm working on them crowns, my pastor.
I'm working on them.
Amen. 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 Work on, sister. Much power to you.
Amen.
Okay. We will see you all next week. Have a blessed week. Enjoy your balance of your Sunday.
God bless.
Bye now.
Bless you all.